Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, what a day. Oh, what a day. Before we get to anything that happened last night and or this morning, we have your keyword cash.
Text the word into 72881. The word this hour is view, V-I-E-W, view. Text the word into 72881.
Before we get even deeper into the voting situation from last night, I want to tell you about tomorrow. We will be broadcasting live. EJ and Alan will be there out at Oak Park Mall for the annual Caring for Kids Radiothon for the Salvation Army Children's Shelter. We'll be out there, and then Dana and Parks, and then Jonathan Weir will be out there. And we're trying to raise as much money as we can for kids who are taken out of horrible situations and hopefully get them set up for a better life. And it starts with your donations. And a great way to get it started is with a cool promotion we're doing right now.
So thanks to UMB Bank that has generously donated their suite at tomorrow's Chiefs game to our Caring for Kids Radiothon. So we are giving out, for donations, of course, 10 pairs of suite tickets are available for tomorrow's game for at least a $500 donation per pair. Got that?
Got it.
That's what we're looking for, is to raise as much money out of these suite tickets as we can. Each pair gets you the UMB suite, hors d'oeuvres and refreshments, a gold parking pass. Keep in mind, game time tomorrow night is at 7:30. So you get into the suite, you get food and refreshments, you get the gold parking pass, and be able to see the game from the suite tomorrow night.
Get there early, see Mahomes, see Kareem Hunt, see Travis Kelce. If you would like to be the first or the second or the third, as Jamie said, we have 10 pair that we want to give away for at least a $500 donation. You can donate $1,000 if you want, but $500 is what we're asking, at least, bare minimum, get you into the suite. If you're interested, call Chris at the Salvation Army. Here is the phone number. They're first come, first serve. So hopefully they'll be gone by the time we get to Dana and Parks. But 816-803-0935. Again, that's 816-803-0935. It's an awesome donation. It's a pretty penny, we understand, but it's for a great cause. Plus, you get to go to the first Chiefs preseason game tomorrow inside the UMB suite. Again, thanks to UMB Bank for their generous donation. One more time, that number, $500, gets you in with two tickets and a gold parking pass. 816-803-0935. We'll have this on social media for you shortly as well.
And just remember, this game is tomorrow night.
Yep.
So this, you know, just found out about it. So it's tomorrow night. So just make sure you can go tomorrow night.
So call your wife right now and tell her you're going to make plans. Tell her it's date night tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You're going to have dinner and entertainment tomorrow night.
I mean, if you're ever going to see a Chiefs game, isn't the suite the way to go?
Suite's awesome.
You know?
Suite's awesome with food and refreshments, gold parking pass, all of that. And again, it's a $500 donation, 816-803-0935. What time did you go to bed last night?
You know, I didn't. Funny story. I have been getting no sleep the last several days. And after several days of being frustrated about that and knowing that when we do the show out on a day like tomorrow, I need to not be sleep deprived. At about 9 o'clock, I said, I think I'm taking Ambien. Because at 9 o'clock, nothing was really settled yet. You know,
we weren't close
to knowing anything yet. And so I took the Ambien. I'll tell that story later.
Okay.
There were no raw potatoes this time.
Okay. Did you cook anything?
I didn't. I spent some time in the kitchen.
Oh, no.
I did, in fact, get a little creative, I remember it, thank goodness. So I went to bed at 9, but I wake up at 4:15 in the morning every day to work. And so I looked at 4:15 and said, what? What do you mean?
Nothing. Nothing yet.
Not nothing. But not the big one. And Dave Helling had warned us yesterday from the Kansas City Star that it would be close, but we still do not have an answer yet in who the Republican nominee for Kansas governor is.
We know the Democrat's going to be Laura Kelly.
Yes.
She's going to be the Dem on one side. But we, real quick, to go over the other stuff real quick before we start hammering on what happened in Johnson County yesterday between Collier and Kobach. No surprise, Claire McCaskill and Josh Hawley will be the Democrat and the Republican fighting for Senator McCaskill's current seat. They both won handily. Prop A got shot down hard.
2-1.
I mean, for all those people that wanted to move that thing up to August because you thought it might lessen the turnout, that didn't work out. No on Prop A wins 2-1. And in the district currently held by Kevin Yoder, Yoder won again pretty handily. And Charisse Davids won. She had overcome an early deficit from Brent Welder to win the nomination on the Democratic side for that that congressional seat. So it'll be Charisse Davids v. Kevin Yoder come this November.
Okay.
Okay, now getting to Johnson County.
Okay, so the county got new voting machines, okay? And tell me, this was the first time the county commission had voted in May to approve the purchase of 2,100 voting machines. They cost $10.5 million. And what's his, Metzger? What's Metzger's first name?
Ronnie. 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 Okay. Oh, Ronnie. We've put in for Ronnie. Haven't heard a word out of Ronnie Metzger yet.
So is everybody. So he had really bragged about this new system when the county commission voted in May to get these new machines. He had said at the time, and this is out of the Star, the new machines will provide the latest technology with significantly improved features, most important of which is the voter verifiable paper audit trail. He said at the time that Johnson County's culture was to have electronic voting machines, and these machines fit the bill. Okay. We're having some problems with these machines now, and this was the first election in which these machines were being used.
Oh, good. New machines.
This morning in the Star, I am embarrassed for our county. Our county is not accustomed to having this kind of event. It's embarrassing for our office. It's embarrassing for me, for our team, and for the vendor. Here's the thing. So there's a problem. There's a little USB stick on all of these that contains the voting information. And instead of it taking a couple of seconds for that information to be transmitted to where it needs to go, how long was it taking?
About an hour per stick.
Okay. Per voting machine then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Secretary of State's office has put the vote difference between Chris Kobach and Jeff Collier at 191. But there are a ton of provisional ballots out there that have not been counted.
Absentee as well.
Right. And so we still, I mean, 191 votes, that could easily change. That could easily go the other way.
You should have voted, Travis.
What could have been, you know, 190
separated. Could be 190 right now.
So we still have no idea. And part of the problem is just the length of time it took to get results out of Johnson County.
It was unbelievable last night. It was not only a local embarrassment or a statewide embarrassment. Ronnie Metzger, if we hear from him, he will probably be the first one to tell you this is a national embarrassment, because it takes on an extra layer when the president of the United States and Chris Kobach, one of the nominees, are so closely connected.
Yeah.
And the endorsement comes from the president. And it's just, oh, my goodness. Last night, about 11 o'clock, maybe 11:30, you know, I'm in bed now. I've quit the TV. Lee says, turn the TV off. So now I'm just on the phone. And I'm hitting refresh, and I'm following on Twitter, and I see all the TV people who are all over the different parts of the watch parties. The Johnson County Voting Commission has said it will be between 2 and 3 more hours.
Yeah, it's been 12 hours.
It's been 12.
So the Star, Steve Ockrott, posted a story 45 minutes ago, and Metzger apparently talked to them, and he said one factor was a higher-than-expected turnout of nearly 30% of registered voters in the county, which is more than a normal August primary. Yeah, there was a lot of interest in this election because of this Republican primary for governor. He said that was not expected in May when the office was planning the staffing. In hindsight, they should have had more machines and more poll workers. He said the new voting machines themselves worked well in terms of recording the voters' choices and providing a backup paper audit trail. He said the delay occurred in the process of uploading the data from the tabulated results for each of the 192 polling locations. So results are gathered from the polling locations onto a thumb drive. The process broke down in uploading the results from the master stick to the reporting software. 192 polling locations, okay? Should have taken a few seconds. And then it took minutes, and then it took half hours. And so take that times 192 machines, and we're not there yet.
192 locations.
Right.
And then all the machines in the locate, yeah.
So the Star talked to a spokesperson for the vendor, which is out of Omaha. They said the results were physically transported to the Johnson County Election Office in a timely manner Tuesday night. They said the delay in reporting results is attributed to slow upload times of the election, the thumb drives, basically. While the reporting is now complete and the results secure at all times, the timeliness was slower than normal. We'll be working with the county to determine the cause of the delay so it can be corrected before the next election. Metzger acknowledged that Johnson County was using brand new software certified July 2nd, first time in the county that the voting machines with this particular kind of configuration were being used. And he has complete confidence that the equipment is safe, secure, and appropriate for Johnson County.
Reading out of the pitch from, let's see, what was the date on this story here from the pitch? August 4th, so 4 days ago, there was a quote as they were getting ready because the question was, is the Johnson County Election Office ready for the midterms? That was the headline. And by the way, follow us on Twitter. It's a great story to read. This is a quote from Ronnie Metzger. I certainly don't claim to have the magic wand to tell you what's going to happen, but I do know this, we'd better be ready. I think Mr. Metzger would be the first to tell you they were not ready.
Yeah, and this comes after we had major delays in election results in November of 2016. Mm-hmm. At the time, Metzger was in charge then, and at the time he blamed a software malfunction. He noted that those machines were 14 years old and some of the oldest in use in the country. So having new machines didn't fix it. By the way, we should point out that Ronnie Metzger was appointed by Secretary of State Kris Kobach.
Yes, he was.
So,
just make sure you know that.
Just saying.
Just throwing information, just all the information on the table. He was appointed to this position with the Johnson County Election Office by Kris Kobach.
So nobody has conceded yet. Nobody, and I wouldn't. 191
no.
votes. I wouldn't be conceding either. There's no rush for that. For sure, there will be a recount. And I'd be looking pretty closely at Johnson County votes.
This is a statement from Governor Collier, released earlier this morning. Given the historically close margin of the current tabulation, the presence of thousands of as yet uncounted provisional ballots, and the extraordinary problems with the count, particularly in Johnson County, this election remains too close to call. In the 2014, 6,333 provisional ballots were cast. The current margin is 0.06%, the equivalent of a two-vote margin in a 5,000-vote race with hundreds of votes left to count. We are committed to ensuring every legal vote is counted accurately throughout the canvassing process. Yeah. That from Governor Collier. Kris Kobach is going to speak later on this morning.
It could easily go the other way. It's 191. It could easily flip.
So you went to bed. Mm-hmm. I was watching, and I should have gone to bed earlier had I known that it was not going to be, you know, anything happening. What about the watch parties? What about Kris Kobach's watch party? We're going to talk with Caroline Sweeney from KCTV5 coming up next. As she was in Topeka at Kris Kobach's watch party, what was it like the night leading up to the point where they said, time to go home, everybody? We'll find out coming up next on 98.1 KMBZ. Well, it's kind of, sort of, still election day. It's kind of election day. We're all kind of still waiting. The ones we do know, we can actually call Sharice Davids v. Kevin Yoder in Kansas on the other side of the state line. Prop A as a no vote by a margin of 2-1. McCaskill and Hawley will face off this November. But we're still not 100% sure what's going to happen when it comes to the governor of Kansas. Governor Collier, Kris Kobach, basically locked in a tie. Less than 200 votes separate them as the Johnson County Elections Board went well into the morning with their final vote tally. Of course, we're still waiting on provisionals and absentees. But what was it like at some of the watch parties? We've got our friend Caroline Sweeney from KCTV5 joining us. Caroline, thank you so much for, I'm going to bet, waking up early and joining us on what was a late night at Kris Kobach's watch party.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. We got back to Kansas City around 2:30, and that's because around 1:15, Kris Kobach came out and told his supporters, thank you so much for being here, but go home, get some rest. The fight is still on, because at that point, about 106 of the 3,000 precincts in Johnson County were reporting at that point. So, right, I mean, it was close then, and it's close now. So he kind of told everyone, go home, or we'll kick this off tomorrow.
Can you talk about how the mood shifted through the night? You know, did he start off the evening pretty confident? And if so, was he surprised when it became as close as it was?
Well, he knew it was going to be close. I think Governor Collier and Secretary Kobach both knew, that it was going to be a close race. He came out and talked to the press at about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. He was at the watch party for about 45 minutes around 7 o'clock. That's when everyone started showing up, right after the polls closed. And then he went back to the Secretary of State's office to oversee the election. Like, he still had his current job to do, to oversee the election. We didn't really see him again until past 1 o'clock this morning when he came and made that announcement. So he was very confident, shaking hands with supporters. There was a chance to take a picture with Secretary Kobach. And then he went back to work. But you could see the crowd start to dwindle through the night. There would be small cheers kind of going up in the room when the numbers would flip, even, one small lead back and forth. But as the night went on, the crowd started to get a little thinner and a little more anxious waiting for those Johnson County numbers to come in.
Talk with Caroline Sweeney, KCTV5. She was at Chris Kobach's watch party yesterday as the governor's race continues on even into the morning. What was the party like? What is a Chris Kobach watch party like?
There were surprisingly a lot of people, so like a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. It was a full room. There was a lot of music that we don't recognize, a lot of country music, a lot of 80s music. People were just up talking around, talking politics, talking Kansas, and they were there kind of waiting to hear from Secretary Kobach, meet him, shake his hand. So at the beginning of the night, for like the first 3 hours, it was a traditional election watch party.
Did he have anything to say, given his position as Secretary of State, about the problems that we were having in Johnson County that was delaying us finding out results in his own race?
So last night, this morning, he was fairly diplomatic about the issues in Johnson County. He came out, and the first thing he said was, I just got off the phone with election officials in Johnson County. They tell me that results won't be ready until 4 a.m. We know it went well past that now. And that's really all he had to say about what was happening in Johnson County. I think at that point he was kind of trying to split his focus on keeping his supporters rallied and then doing his job trying to get votes tallied across the state. Because it wasn't just his race we were waiting on, the Kansas 3, that third district, the congressional district, that was really hinging on Johnson County votes as well.
And what are the two candidates doing now? I know that Chris Kobach speaks later and Collier as well.
We know that Chris Kobach is planning to speak at noon. The governor was expected to speak. We are on our way to Topeka right now, waiting for that announcement. That may have changed because of how close the race is. Less than 200 votes, 191 votes is separating the two candidates right now. So we're going to be in Topeka if the governor decides to make a statement, but we are going to hear from Secretary Kobach at noon.
Well, Caroline, enjoy your time. It's back and forth between Kansas City and the Capitol. Thank you so much. I know it's going to be a long day, maybe a long week. Who knows? Maybe a long 90 days. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Caroline Sweeney, KCTV5. She was at Chris Kobach's watch party yesterday in Topeka till, she said, got home about 2:30 in the morning. What is our keyword to cash, by the way?
It is VIEW, V-I-E-W, VIEW. Text it into 72881.
You've got the rest of the hour to do so. Hey, what was your take on the Johnson County voting situation from last night? Did you have any issues voting in Johnson County? 576-7798. What was it like trying to vote for governor in the state of Kansas for you? 576-7798. Tomorrow is the annual Caring for Kids Radiothon for the Salvation Army Children's Shelter. We'll be broadcasting live at Oak Park Mall. EJ and Ellen from 7 until 10 will be out there from 10 until 2. Dana and Parks, followed by Jonathan Weir. And UMB Bank has generously donated their suite to tomorrow's game, which means you have an opportunity not only to pick up some great tickets to go see the first Chiefs preseason game, sit in a suite, gold parking pass, but a great donation. We're asking for donations of $500. Get you two tickets into the suite with food and beverage, a gold parking pass. Game time tomorrow is 7:30. $500 get you both tickets.
Right. So we've got 10 pairs. So we're looking to raise some money by getting rid of the 10 pairs. So we want at least a $500 donation for a pair. If you are interested, remember this is tomorrow night. You should call Chris at the Salvation Army. The number there is 816-803-0935. Again, the number to reach Chris at the Salvation Army is 816-803-0935. The tickets will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
Get it done. Let's get it done. I hope these are all gone by the time we get to Dana and Parks. And if we can't get them all done by the time we get to Dana and Parks, then done by the time we get to Jonathan Weir's program. And tomorrow we hope to raise a ton of money, so hopefully you'll be able to help us out with that. Not a good night for the Johnson County Election Office. They just released this statement a few minutes ago while we were talking to Caroline Sweeney about the delay, let's just call it. Overnight, we experienced an issue that caused a delay in our reporting of election results. Unofficial final results for the August primary election were posted on our website shortly before 8 a.m. today. We remain confident in the integrity of the votes cast and the accuracy of the vote tabulation process in Johnson County. We understand that the delay was frustrating to our community and agree that such delays are unacceptable. Our first priority was reporting unofficial final results to our voters. We are working with the vendor to identify the cause of the delay, resolve the issue, and ensure the problem does not happen again. We anticipate a statement from the vendor later today. That, again, from the Johnson County Election Office.
And just remember, we had the same problem, a similar problem with the delay in getting votes tabulated and added to the system back in November of 2016. And at the time, Ronnie Metzger, who's in charge here in Johnson County, said, the problem is that our machines are really outdated. Great, we spent millions of dollars to get new machines, and now we're just have a new set of problems with them.
How do we get to this point again, I guess? But, hey, hopefully they get this thing figured out. We have reached out to Ronnie Metzger. If he has a chance to join us, we will definitely chat with him and get his further explanation on this cluster bleep of a situation from last night. 576-7798. What was voting like in Johnson County for you yesterday? Let's go to the phones and talk to Brenda on KMBZ. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing all right. Did you vote in Johnson County in Kansas yesterday?
Yes, I did. And the new machines were okay. But my problem with it is when I got to the governor's race, Jeff Collier wasn't on the screen. Chris Kobach was and the other candidates. But if you look to the bottom of the screen, you could see a tiny green arrow that said more. And you had to go to that page. So I wonder if Jeff Collier didn't lose a lot of votes because of that setup. And you weren't warned about it by the poll officials. And now that I hear that Chris Kobach hired Mr. Metzger, then that sounds a little bit pinky.
Doesn't it sound just a tick shady?
Yeah. And if he still has a job after wasting $10.5 million and screwing up two elections, I'd be amazed.
I had heard about that while watching the local news that when they went to go test the ballot system, that Collier's name was not on the front screen. Like, you get there and you're like, all right, here are my votes. You don't think to hit the more button mm-hmm. when you're looking to vote for the incumbent. You know, if right. you want to vote for your Green Party or whatever, you may think that person's going to be further down the ballot. There were probably some people in Kansas that thought, huh, why is it called? All right, voting for Kobach. They said they were trying to fix that. I will bet that's an issue that the software company is going to have to figure out. Brenda, thank you so much. 576-7798. Steve, you're on KMBZ.
Choo choo! Happy Trump victory day to the score. Trump 16, liberals and rhinos 1.
You do realize, Steve, that. Trump's supposed to win primary days. When you get the backing of the president, you're supposed to win that party's primary. He didn't do a whole lot. And two,
this is the law of unintended consequences. All of these little whiny little kids thought it'd be really funny if they went and ran for governor. And don't blame Kobach for this. All those lame brain kids, their ballot, they put a sitting governor on the second frame of that ballot
You know, Steve, you shockingly make a good point. You have all the 17-year-olds and all the other outskirts. Their names came before Collier's for whatever reason, putting his name well below and off the main screen when you voted.
A sitting governor. I mean, this is the law of unintended consequences. You get what you deserve. If you fool around with the democratic process, I mean, it's a great thing that Sharice Davids got that third district. That's going to be a great race. That's going to be Yoder. That's the kind of stuff you live for. The guy kind of got torpedoed by that ad. The guy that lost to
Welder.
Lost to Sharice. Yeah, Welder. But I tell you what, Sharice. She's not on our team, but those are some of the best ads I've ever seen. The waitress to the White House. I mean, I'm calling it upset. Yoder, those fake Republicans that vote for Yoder, they better get going because they will get beat by Sharice.
Those ads
were terrific.
Do you vote in Kansas? Do you live
in
Kansas?
Yeah, I voted in Johnson County.
Okay, so did you have any trouble yesterday? That's what we're digging around for here.
What I'm saying is the primary trouble is you have to get these kids off the ballot.
I'm asking you, when you went to vote yesterday, did you have any trouble?
Well, the trouble was if the situation were reversed, if Kobach was on the second ballot, I would be absolutely furious. I would be calling for a legislative, inquiry on this. I mean, for a sitting governor to be shoved to the second ballot by these moron kids, I mean, that they get what they deserve. You fool around with democracy is sacred in this country.
So let me ask, did you have any trouble voting yesterday?
Well, what do you mean by trouble?
We had people say that they were registered to vote, and the system showed they weren't registered. They said that the candidate that they looked for, they couldn't find. When you went, did you have any trouble?
Well, no. I mean, but the candidate that I was looking for was on the first ballot. This is an absolute disgrace. We have to blame. Don't blame the Secretary of State. Blame those idiot kids.
I'm getting the point here, Steve. You're blaming 17-year-old kids for putting their name on the ballot.
You blame the kid? No. So you're blaming the kids, even though the law doesn't have a minimum age to run for governor. So you blame the kids who realized that and decided to run for governor, and went ahead and took advantage of the process. You don't blame the guy who is in charge of elections in the state because he's your guy.
Is that accurate, Steve?
I blame the adults in the legislature who should have enough brains. Mm-hmm.
You mean the guy
from New York can't register.
Steve,
vote in Kansas.
Who's in charge of the voting process? Say it with me. The secretary.
Yeah, right. Your guy can do no wrong. We hear that a lot.
You can say the Secretary of State oversees this.
Yeah, let's blame the kids.
It's okay.
Who decided to run and get on the ballot. That's the problem.
I don't blame Kobach for not having Collier's name or everybody's name on the same screen. I blame the software company, and I blame Ronnie Metzger and company for going with this software company that didn't allow everybody's name a fair shot.
But you don't blame the people who decided to run in the election. For deciding to run in the election.
Steve.
For crowding the ballot.
Always appreciate your call, my friend. 576-7798. Anybody have problems voting in Johnson County yesterday? Steve had a problem with the voting process. But did anybody have any other issues? Like Brenda, was your guy not on the ballot? 576-7798. You can text in 22980. We want to take more of your phone calls as we are still waiting to find out who the Republican nominee for governor will be, and it could be a long process. We'll give you another keyword to cash just before 11 o'clock. Right now, though, we're getting your thoughts on voting day yesterday, especially those of you in Johnson County. If you were in Johnson County yesterday, what was it like for you? People have been calling in and saying that candidates for governor were not on their screen. They had to hit the more button. Brenda called up and said Governor Collier was not on the screen. That may have thrown some people off, which may have swayed a vote one way or another, perhaps in favor of Chris Kobach. Right now, we're under 200 votes. There will be a recount, maybe all over the state. maybe all over the state. Who knows?
So again, Chris Kobach is going to speak at noon. Jeff Collier was supposed to speak at 11 o'clock, and then that's been postponed or changed. We don't know. I believe he'll speak at some point. You would think he, especially after Chris Kobach speaks, you'd think he'd have to at some point, but we don't know exactly when that'll be.
576-7798. Right to the phones. And Jennifer on KMBZ. Jennifer, how was voting for you in Johnson County?
It was fine. I didn't have any problems. I live in a small area. It usually goes pretty well. But I did call in to say that Chris Kobach was on my second screen.
Was that weird for you?
Well, it was, because I saw all the names, and then I wondered where Kobach was, and then I figured it out, and it wasn't a problem. But I did stand there and think while I was doing my voting, I hope this doesn't cost him votes, because people won't find him. So it's interesting to hear that Collier was on the second screen for some people, and that makes me think maybe it was random.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one of the kids.
It might be,
That could be. Either way, that software problem's got to get fixed. You can't not have everybody on the same screen, because, again, some people just say, he's not there, and vote for somebody else.
Yeah, a couple of you have said or are wondering or suggesting that the candidate order is randomly selected for each voter.
Is it?
And that for some people it was flipped and they had other people first.
Jennifer, thank you for your phone call. Chris, you're on KMBZ. How was voting for you, Chris? Chris?
Hello?
You're on the air, bud.
Yeah, how are you? Okay, thank you. Yeah, I am. I was just like your previous caller. This is the first time I voted in Johnson County, and I thought it went smooth. But I did notice that, and even one of the ladies next to me made a comment about Kobach was on the second page. So I just hear some callers calling in, kind of blaming him, thinking he might have something to do with this. But I was kind of surprised that all of them weren't on the same page, but he was on my second page.
Okay, I gotcha. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too. Steven, you're on KMBZ. What's up, Steven?
Hey, so... You know, I don't know about other counties, because my sticker said I proudly voted in Johnson County.
Of course it did.
But, and I don't know about other locations, but, you know, when you got to the point for the governor, there was a big flashing button down at the bottom that said more, and you could not move forward without having pressed that first. So you could not move on to the next polling question without having answered that question in full and looked at both pages before moving forward. So if I
looked at that first page and just pretend like I'm an idiot, if I looked at that first page and I saw Governor Collier's name on there and I wanted to vote, I could hit vote and then I would hit what after that?
If you tried to press next, it would not let you. And you had to press the more button first, and having seen the second page before you could press the next button.
When the when you hit more, was there then just the one name on the second page?
For my polling place, yes, there was.
Huh.
And you know, I don't know about all these 17-year-olds that the other Steve was talking about, but I'm proud to be in a country where the youngsters are interested in politics to that point. And you know, even if, well, excuse me, at the polling spot that I was at, you know, the young ladies of 70 years old, they were very kind and helpful. They answered all the questions that I had, or, you know, tried to give out as much information that they could. They told me that I had to press the more button before I could move on to the next question. But if they hadn't, I wouldn't have held it against them.
Hey, Steve, thanks so much, as always, for the phone call, man. We appreciate it. Next up, someone who wants to remain anonymous is on KMBZ. Go ahead, anonymous.
Yes, I'm in Wyandotte County. I voted yesterday. I always use the paper ballots. Collier's name was not on the paper ballot as a choice.
Jeff Collier's name was not on the ballot?
Exactly.
Did you immediately tell someone at your polling station?
No, I did not.
Why didn't you tell anyone, Anonymous?
Well, I wondered, and they were busy, and I thought, okay, he is the mayor. This is a primary. Maybe something has changed in the elections that I'm unaware of.
So was it your intention to vote for him?
Yes.
And what did you just not vote, or did you vote for someone else?
No, I voted for someone else.
I think what you made a mistake yesterday, Anonymous. I think if you were that, you should have gotten up immediately and said to a polling expert or a polling whoever's running your location, look, Governor Collier is not on my ballot. There's something wrong there.
I guess I thought I was smarter than I really am. I thought, okay, he's the governor now, so this is the primary. Maybe something's changed again, and I'm totally unaware of it. I just thought I was stupid.
You are not stupid. No, you are not. Did you, if you don't mind me asking, Anonymous, did you vote for Kris Kobach?
I can't even remember the three names that were on there, and I probably did because that name stood out. I mean, you know.
Well, that's a two-vote swing right there, and if that is the case, if at your Wyandotte location, if all of the ballot, if anybody else voted in the dot and saw that Governor Collier's name was not on the ballot, let us know. Because if that's the case, that's a voting irregularity that needs to be taken into account during this recall or this recount.
I'm going to ask a question in all due respect, and I don't mean this to make it sound like you don't know what you're doing, but it was a Republican ballot, right? Not a
yes.
Democratic ballot?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Because that would explain it if the names you were looking for weren't there, if you got the wrong ballot. So
that if that's the case, and I'm not saying it is or it is not, because it's one person's account and maybe she was just mistaken, whatever. But if the person I want to vote for is not on my ballot for mm-hmm. governor or for anything, and I know they're up for election, I'm getting up and getting that fixed or bringing it to someone's attention. If anybody else had that same problem in Wyandotte, call us 576-7798. Jeff, you're on 98.1 KMBZ.
Well, I always go paper because I don't trust those electronic things. But I was listening to Dana and Parks yesterday, and Parks was saying that all the names are on a revolving system. So every time somebody goes in or does it, the names revolve. And even if one is on the second page, the next time it would be on the front page.
Yeah, we said that too, that the voting machines were rotating them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard yesterday. So.
And that's a problem, because it doesn't matter if it's Kobach or Collier or the 17-year-old kid or Jamie Monticelli. The names should all be in front of you. You shouldn't have to go back and forth. I think that's an unfair advantage for whomever you support or don't support.
But at least they're rotating them.
Yeah.
You know, at least that way nobody gets an unfair advantage, so that it's always one person's name on the second page. So I appreciate that they're rotating through them. That way it's random then, depending on whose name gets kicked to the next.
We'll come back to this a little bit later on. We'll have an update for you. If Kris Kobach speaks, he's expected to at noon. We will have that for you. If Governor Collier speaks, anything else comes out from the Johnson County Election Office, we'll have it for you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s. 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.